the discovery in Kamloops is part of a larger tragedy, and that from coast to coast to coast, many children forced into the residential school system disappeared without a trace.
This isn't a surprise. There are many examples of Indigenous children being killed, dying at residential schools. But the uncovering of this site is something that opened up wounds and requires healing.
This tragic discovery is a stark reminder of our duty to heal the wounds from this horrific part of our history.
The Political Whirlpool on the Live 88.5 Morning Startup.
In the Whirlpool this morning is Caitlin Keeley from Media Style and Tim Powers from Summa Strategies. It was 5 days ago that we learned of the remains of 215 children buried at a former BC residential school. Caitlin, 5 days and the country is still stunned.
Yeah, I mean, it's always surprising that people are surprised. I mean, everybody should be horrified, but, you know, the calls to action came out from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission 6 years ago, in that it was, you know, the three commissioners talked greatly about how many children went missing and were murdered and all sorts of horrible things. And, you know, it's horrifying, but shouldn't be all that shocking anymore. I think this is the first of many that I think we're going to find across the country that really shows how, you know, Canada used to look at Indigenous populations as, you know, not necessary to keep alive. And it's pretty horrible and depressing.
Tim, how did you feel when that report came out?
Well, I probably, like many of the parents on this call, you look at your own children and you think, what if paths in life had been different? And one of my children was in a residential school and birth had all been very different. You think about it that way first, I think, from a parent's lens. And then, as Caitlin rightly said, I mean, none of this is new. I think one NDP MP said it well yesterday, and I forget the MP's name, so I excuse myself on that one. But we've normalized too much of what happened to Canada's Indigenous peoples. And events like this happen. They're horrific and they're terrible. But I hope we don't close our eyes this time, because that's what we've done in the past, or turn away. We're too acceptant of this as something that happened a long time ago that we bear no responsibility for today, and that's not right.
Caitlin, residential schools, I really hate to admit this, it's not something I learned about in mm-hmm. school where I went, which was north of Toronto. I don't know if that matters. Is this federal, provincial? Is that part of it? The breakdown isn't just about the federal government and no one knows how to disperse responsibility, I guess, for what needs to happen next besides money and apologies?
Yeah, I mean, the call, so there's 94 calls to action that the Truth and Reconciliation pushed out 6 years ago. Those are very clear to-do, it's a clear to-do list for all levels of society. It's not just federal government, it's everybody, it's all of us, it's, you know, education, it's healthcare, you know, it's murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls. You know, this is an ongoing genocide of a population in our own country. And I think we can't sugarcoat that. So, I mean, the responsibility lays with everyone, you know, even from journalists to lawyers, you know, to every aspect of our society, because there is ongoing oppression and, you know, destruction of people. I don't, like, you know, the resilience that, you know, First Nations, Inuit and Métis people have shown in this country needs to be noted. I think that's important. But we're not talking about the past tense, right? This is ongoing. You know, every day that goes by, another woman is murdered or goes missing. Like, these are things that we need to fix now. We have hopefully now have the political will, but we also need to find the way. And I think that's the important next step, is how do we take this through and start to actually fix things?
Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, I had the opportunity, challenge, describe it what you will, to work in the Indigenous Affairs Department when it was called Indian Affairs, which kind of gave you direction as to how government governments many times thought about that relationship with, you know, Canada's First Peoples. It was about managing them, not working with them. And my observation would be that we have significant structural and cultural challenges that these reports have well documented, that it's on us to address. It's not on the Indigenous peoples. They've done an excellent job of telling their painful and terrible histories and stories and calling for partnerships, we have a hell of a lot more to do, those of us who are non-Indigenous, both as citizens and government leaders.
Tim, is there just a collective apathy that's stopping us from moving forward? Is that the major roadblock, do you think, from your point of view?
I don't know if it's apathy. I think it's there's a huge discomfort. I think people, I think there is some apathy, but I think there's a huge discomfort.
Just
I think
like
this is
respond to this one.
Canadians are maybe in a sense of disbelief. Oh, well, it's not us. We didn't do it. It was our ancestors. Well, we all inherit the past and need to solve the problems so that we can deal with the future. I think there's a fear of dealing with this. There's a monetary fear. For a long time, the Department of Justice, as the legal agent of the Government of Canada, has recognized that in the way it's dealt with all Indigenous claims that have come towards the Crown. Are we prepared as Canadians to pay up? We have to come to grips with that, too, because there will be some significant and legitimate compensation that is due. But it's more than money, as Caitlin has well extolled rightly in the past.
Caitlin, is it apathy?
I think it's racism, the legacy of colonialism. I think it's, I think apathy is, one factor, but not the main driver. I think it's, people don't care. There's underlying racism, whether it's overt or, more subtle. I mean, this isn't happening to you. So why fight back or why push the government to make change?
Well, people have been against the removal of statues of Sir John A. Macdonald, saying it's a part of history. Leave it alone. Does that answer change now when you hear this story, Caitlin? It did on PEI yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, we just named a parkway after Sir John A. I think, if we need to look around for present day examples of the ongoing power of colonialism, that's one just in our own city, right? So I think, education is key in all of this. As Murray Sinclair, who was the lead commissioner on the TRC, said, it took 150 years to get here. It's going to take, many generations to get, to fix this. And education is the key plank in all of it, because, my kids were wearing orange on Monday and, I had to explain to them why. And it's not an easy conversation to have, but I think more parents are having it with their non-Indigenous kids, because if Indigenous kids have to know this stuff to keep themselves safe, everybody else's kids should also understand what's happening.
I mean, Amal, you hit it earlier, right? It is education. And Caitlin and I grew up in a province where the Indigenous population were slaughtered, killed. It was rarely talked about in our school system. And when it was, the heroism of one Indigenous woman was recognized, but it sort of was the rest of the history was airbrushed. I mean, that's just one example in one province where if you commit to education and dealing with, whereas Macdonald was glorified and lauded as a founder of the nation. And yes, he deserves some credit for that, but you got to see all the history. You can't just have bits and pieces of it.
That is Tim Powers and Caitlin Keeley on the Live 85 Political Whirlpool.